Right now, it's time for Political Junkie.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
But I'm the decider.
A U.S. senator is the subject of a corruption probe in Alaska. Fred Thompson may be long on charisma, but he's short on money. And the Iowa straw poll is coming up. It's used as an early indicator for which Republican presidential candidates are likely to be on top and who should probably drop out. Here to help us make sense of it all is our political junkie. He's NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin. Welcome, Ken.
Hi, Rebecca.
And as always, if you have questions for Ken, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Or you can send us email at talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog, npr.org/blog of the nation. Let's start with Fred Thompson. He hasn't officially announced his candidacy, but he has announced that his money raising was short of what he had hoped. How important is that, do you think?
Well, part of it is Fred Thompson's problem, his own problem, because the campaign, or whatever you want to call it, considering he's not an official candidate yet, but his effort announced that they expect to raise $5 million in the month of June, and they only raised $3.4 million. Now, some people say, well, that's far better than other Republican candidates, but given the fact that Fred Thompson was supposed to be the second coming of Ronald Reagan. You know, he looks great on TV. He's a Southerner. He's a true conservative, unlike those other, you know, pseudo-conservatives like Mitt Romney, John McCain, and Rudy Giuliani. So Fred Thompson was supposed to be the real thing. But given the fact that the money was, you know, usually when you announce that you're going to raise $5 million,
you really mean
you're lowballing.
Right.
Exactly. You mean 10, exactly right. But and so it's less than expected. People wonder if there's really a there, you know, like the Wizard of Oz, the guy behind the curtain is not the same guy you saw on the screen. And that's a resonating question about Fred Thompson, whether he really wants this or he's just, you know, wasting everybody's time.
So do you think this is more that 3.5 million doesn't get you very far, or that it's a sign that people are not actually as enthusiastic about him as he might hope?
Well, given the fact that he is, you know, as you say, he has not announced, he has not been in any of the debates, he has not spent, you know, we talk about all the money that John McCain has spent, Fred Thompson has not spent very much money at all, and yet he's doing really, really well in the polls. So you can make the case, well, he doesn't have to do any more, he doesn't have to be raising all this money, because look how well he's doing without that. But at the same time, you do need a lot of money to compete in the 8 gazillion primaries that we're going to see coming up in January, you know, primaries and caucuses. And if he was doing so well, if he was really, again, the second coming of Ronald Reagan or the true conservative in the race, he should have raised more money. Now, he's still having more fundraisers. He has one today in Orange County. I think he had one the other day in Washington. And again, we expect him to see announced around Labor Day. There's a debate, I think, the next day, September 5th, that he may participate in. And it'll be just, you know, it's willing to see whether the hype matches the reality.
Well, you say he's hyped as a true conservative, but there was a recent story about his past lobbying activities for an abortion rights organization. How much is that stuff hurting him?
It does hurt him, given the fact that his argument, the argument for a Fred Thompson candidacy, is that all the others are suspect. You know, John McCain has had battles with the religious right, as we saw in the year 2000. Mitt Romney has been inconsistent on stem cell research and abortion. Of course, Rudy Giuliani himself has been a pro-choice candidate for so many years. So if Fred Thompson is the real thing, and then we lo and behold, we see that his lobbying activities includes work on behalf of a pro-choice organization, you wonder if he's really the real McCoy, you know, as well.
So why hasn't he announced?
Well, there's some internal dissension, a reported internal dissension within his campaign. His wife, Jerry, who's I think 25 years younger than he is, has reputedly have far more influence on the campaign than other people would like. I think he wanted to be on TV as long as he could. He wanted to so-called test the waters. He wanted to probably stay out of the debates as long as he could and just let his writings and his blogs and things like that speak for him. But again, it's getting late. Of course, we're still 160 days before Iowa, and so there's a lot of more time, plenty of time to get in and make an effort. But a lot of the American public have seen the other candidates perform on the debates, during the debates. They've made their intentions known. And I think the longer you wait, the longer you're hurting your cause.
Let's turn to Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska. He's, you know, one of these senators for life. He's 83 years old. His home in Alaska was raided by the FBI earlier this week. definitely shadows of Representative William Jefferson from Louisiana. What was all that about?
Well, no cold cash in Alaska, of course. But the thing with
you don't need the freezer in Alaska.
Exactly. The thing about Ted Stevens, though, I mean, he is, as you say, he's the longest serving Republican senator in history. He's dominated Alaska politics for decades. He was appointed to the Senate in '68. He's been around ever since then, and he has been Mr. Money. You talk, you know, we derisively talk about his work, the bridge to nowhere, and all the money that he's brought into Alaska. But the point is, he has raised billions and billions of dollars for projects in Alaska. So he's long beloved there. But having said that, there are some questions about what he may have done, what role ties he's had with an oil services executive who has apparently done some work on his house and who also benefited from some of Stevens' projects in Congress. So if there is some kind of corruption, as you say, on Monday, his house was raided in Alaska. A lot of things were taken. A lot of photographs were taken. And you just wonder that, you know, if the so-called Republican culture of corruption, whether it extends to Ted Stevens as well.
Joining us for more on this is Joel Southern. He's the Washington, D.C. reporter for Alaska Public Radio Network. He joins us from his office at the Capitol. Welcome to Talk of the Nation, Joel.
Thank you, Rebecca.
And Joel, I'm going to read you an email we just got from Patrick in San Francisco, who says, I know that Ted Stevens is up for re-election in 2008, but you don't hear much about Alaskan politics down on the continent. Who is he running against? Is he ahead in the polls? Do you think that his son's scandal and the new FBI IRS search will cost him the election or at least make him more competitive?
Unclear if it's going to cost him the election, and best we can tell so far, he may have taken a bit of a hit in the polls. Some polling has been done recently, and it would suggest that he's not riding as high as he might have in times past. You know, one of the things that's happening up in Alaska right now is a generational shift in politicians, and we saw that last fall with the election of the new governor, Sarah Palin. She's, you know, early 40s. And that is a much younger person that has run, you know, had one of the main statewide offices in Alaska. And there are some who think that the ethics she brought in, you know, sort of sweeping clean the corruption and cleaning up the ethics could be harmful to both Ted Stevens and Congressman Don Young if that sentiment is still riding high next year come election time.
Do Alaska voters, you think, understand how the seniority of people like Stevens and Young gives them important representation that they might lose with a freshman, and so they might be willing to overlook some of this?
Yeah, I think they do understand the seniority. I'm not so sure, given the allegations out there, though, that that's as much of a factor as it might have been in times past. Maybe, like I say, with the generational shift, folks want to see a different way of doing business. But to be sure, as Ken said, there's been a bunch of money that's gone to Alaska. Some of it may have been for frivolous things or things that people thought were frivolous over time, but a lot of it's been for water, sewer, infrastructure, and some real necessary essentials, especially out in the rural parts of Alaska. So, you know, especially Stevens, I think, has been sort of the indispensable man here for many, many years, actually before Alaska became a state. He helped Alaska become a state. And that weighs pretty heavily, I think, in a lot of people's minds.
Joel, talking about the Republican strength in Alaska, and it's interesting that the last fellow to win a congressional race in Alaska was a guy named Mike Gravel. And obviously, he's the next president of the United States. But here's a question. Ted Stevens is talking about, you know, he's talked about certainly running for an eighth term next year. As they get closer to him, and of course as they get closer to his son, is there any indication you see of him not running?
You know, there was a time a few years ago where when Strom Thurmond was still around, that we would sit down and talk to Stevens, and he said, I don't want to become a Strom Thurmond, but I think it's so much a part of his fabric and his core that he would have a very hard time giving up being a senator. And, you know, and it's not just like he's sitting there, you know, collecting a paycheck. I mean, he is a formidable guy, even though he's 83 years old. I mean, he's pretty tough customer still, and he still has something to contribute. And, I mean, the question is, will all the allegations out there, you know, jet up into something that prevents him from, you know, serving any longer? And, you know, that remains to be seen. We just don't know.
Or picking up a primary challenger.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there are a lot of people, I think, who have been waiting for a long time to run for a seat in Alaska, and from that standpoint, might not be so sad to see the Stevens era end. You know, you mentioned Mike Gravel there just a few moments ago, Ken. There's another name in Alaska politics, Begich. Nick Begich was a congressman in 1972 and actually disappeared, Rebecca, with your grandfather when he was up there campaigning. And one of the guys who may be running on the Democratic side in Alaska is Mark Begich, the mayor of Anchorage, and he seems to be recruited pretty heavily right now to run, you know, in case something does happen with Stevens.
Joel Southern, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Joel Southern covers Washington, D.C. for Alaska Public Radio Network, and he joined us from his office at the Capitol. I want to move on to the Ames, Iowa straw poll, which is coming up next week. John McCain, Rudy Giuliani, Fred Thompson have already said they will not participate. But tell us a little bit about this annual, well, every 4 years ritual.
Well, ultimately, it's going to be Saturday, August 11th in Ames, Iowa. And ultimately, it has nothing to do with delegates, but it has a lot to do with momentum and a sign that you have a strong organization. I mean, what it really is it's a fundraising event for the Iowa Republican Party. Everybody who participates has to pay $25, so the Iowa Republican Party does get rich. But at the same time, it does show...
Everybody who votes in the poll has
to pay $25?
I was going to say, every candidate, they're going to get, what, $400?
Right, exactly. So every person who participates. So one of the reasons Giuliani and McCain decided to opt out is either they think it's just a bogus event, but also Mitt Romney has spent very freely and heavily and has spent a lot of time in Iowa. Really working this event, and I think they feel that by pulling out, it robs Mitt Romney of some headlines. But ultimately, you know, it could make a big difference. We saw Lamar Alexander a couple of years back, you know, spending tons of time and effort and money in Iowa, wound up finishing sixth in the straw poll and dropped out of the race 2 days later. This is well before the Iowa caucuses. This is a straw poll we're talking about. But again, it does bring result in headlines, and it could bring an increase or an end of momentum.
We're talking with political junkie Ken Rudin. The number to call, 800-989-8255. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And the candidates who are not participating in the straw poll, are their names still going to be on the ballot?
They're all on the ballot. Again, you know, they still have Fred Thompson. His name will be on it. Giuliani and McCain will be there. But, you know, McCain snubbed Iowa 8 years ago when he ran for president. He just thought he went straight into New Hampshire, did very well. But, you know, the fact is that McCain has no money. Both he and Giuliani insist that they will make serious efforts into Iowa. Matter of fact, there's a new poll that came out this week that shows Giuliani with a slight lead. Again, we're talking about 6 months in advance, but Giuliani with a slight lead in the Iowa caucuses. So they will be involved, but they just don't want any part of this. And again, there is a battle to see who will finish second. Ron Paul's supporters are saying that he will make a real serious effort, and it will surprise a lot of people. Sam Brownback and Mike Huckabee, the Kansas senator and the former Arkansas governor, are really fighting among themselves to see who will represent the social conservatives, and the one who loses in that battle could again be forced to pull out. And Tommy Thompson, basically the former governor of Wisconsin, lives in Iowa. He spent all his time there. He's basing his whole campaign on Iowa.
Let's hear from David in Portland, Oregon. David, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a little confused and frustrated that the mainstream media is, as far as I can tell, ignoring Congressman Jay Inslee's resolution to investigate whether Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez should be impeached. It's given that Gonzalez was all but called a liar by his Senate inquisitors last week, and given just how important this is constitutionally, I'm just wondering why Inslee's resolution hasn't received more coverage.
David, thanks for your call.
Well, I wouldn't say the mainstream media have ignored it, given the fact that the New York Times editorial this week basically endorsed the possible impeachment of Alberto Gonzalez. But again, I think there's some Democrats who say, let's just give Gonzalez some time to verify or confirm the kind of the testimony he's given before. And Arlen Specter has called for an independent investigator. So I think that the worst is not yet over for Alberto Gonzalez. This question is whether President Bush really wants to keep him there because he'd never have a successor attorney general confirmed by a Democratic Senate. But the issue of impeachment of a cabinet official, which I think I believe has only happened once in history, is not off the table here. And the media have not ignored that.
Let's hear from Ruth in Berkeley. Ruth, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Oh, hi. You sound very faint. I hope I'm... Can you hear me?
We can hear you very well.
Okay. Yeah, my question is whether there's even any point in worrying about the Republican candidate after the record of this administration. Is there any chance that anybody would vote in another conservative Republican?
Well, you know, that's a good question. The polls show that if the election were held today, the Democrats would win it. But, of course, the election is not held today, and you never know how...
Or tomorrow, or the next day.
Exactly. We have a year and a half to go. And, you know, the Democrats have been known to take a lead and fumble it. A lot of people thought that John Kerry would have won. A lot of people thought that Al Gore won. A lot of people still think that Al Gore won. But the point is that a year and a half is a long time. It's a lifetime away from elections. And we'll see who the two parties put up as their nominees.
And thank you, Ken, for joining us.
Thanks, Rebecca.
NPR political editor Ken Rudin joins us each week, and you can check out more of The Political Junkie at our website, npr.org. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington.
Land.